It is truly a blessing to stand here, especially considering that it is just a little chilly, not too cold out there, right? It's only below freezing. But for those that are from other states where this is typical, they're very likely laughing at us at this moment, right? But again, I want to thank our God, first and foremost, for allowing us to arrive here safely. And for those of you who are here as well, thank you so much. Thank you very much for putting in that diligence, having that wisdom to find a way to get here safely, and for still putting our God first in our lives. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then we will get into our lesson this morning. If you will, please bow with me. Our precious Father and our beloved God, once more we come before thy throne of grace to give thee all honor and glory. We thank you, Father, for the blessing that we have to be here this morning. And we thank you, Father, for the opportunity, Lord, that we have been able to exemplify our faith and to exhibit our confidence in you. But not only that, Father, for granting us the wisdom to learn how to find a way, Lord, in which we were able to arrive here safely. For having the diligence to prepare, Lord, to make sure that we were here this morning. And for those, Father, who had the zeal, who had the diligence, but for whatever reason, circumstances that impeded them for being here this morning, you know their hearts and you know who they are. We thank you, Father, once again. We thank you for this blessing in which we, Father, are able to prove to you that we love you and that we truly, Father, put you first in our hearts. Father, for our elders here at Southeast and for the elders of the other congregations that found wise ways, Lord, in which we can still gather on this first day of the week, bless them, Lord. And again, for the members, Father, the members of your son's body who place this, Father, as our priority, for we love you and we want to be sure to always be compliant with thy commandments. Thank you, Father, for that encouraging example and display of faith. Father, be with this thy servant. Allow me, Lord, to speak as thy word commands. And we pray this in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So this morning, I had one lesson prepared, but after thinking about it and considering the crowd that is here, I'm going to make a bit of a change to our lesson this morning. So don't get rid of your outlines. God willing, we will try to see that next Sunday. But please open your Bibles to what our brother read in Acts chapter 12. And you know, as you heard me say in my prayer, I personally want to make sure that I make this mention, and I want to you all, those of you who are here now, to know how much this means to me, how encouraged I am by this, and how I thank our God for this, as I've said, this display and this exhibit of confidence in our God, but not only trust and faith in him, but also the wisdom and the diligence that was placed, I'm sure, by everyone who is here this morning. Since yesterday, as we were trying to figure out how we're going to get here, I was actually just telling Leah right now that I'm more nervous than usual, and she thought it was probably because of the smaller group, but honestly, it's because of the kind of Christians that are here now. It is truly a blessing to be here, and I know that there are some who perhaps, like us, made it a point, made an effort, but perhaps they couldn't get through the roads, perhaps something got in their way. But their zeal, nonetheless, is still a beauty that we must behold. And when we read here in Acts chapter 12, there are three things this morning that I want us to meditate upon, in which I encourage us to continue to keep in mind and to continue to demonstrate and have this zeal that we've so forth demonstrated. By the way, I am also very encouraged, and I want to share this, that our sister congregations in the area, at least the ones that I'm aware of, they too are assembling. They too made it an effort to find the wisest route possible. And again, this is encouraging because this shows that our faith in our God, but more importantly, our love for him, is truly burning bright, and it gives us that strength to continue moving forward. Sometimes, brethren, as we just learned right now with the conditions of the weather, sometimes our faith is going to be tested. There in Acts chapter 12, notice there, beginning at verse 1 through verse 4. Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through verse 4. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Brethren, there are going to be moments like today where our faith is going to be tested by adversity. There are going to be moments where we have no control over the outcome of the situation. You see, James was the one who was with Peter and John on that mountain of transfiguration. Not to be confused with the amanuensis, or the scribe, rather, of the book of James. Not to be confused with the brother of James, of Jesus. But we see that the James here did not have less faith than Peter. Just because he was killed by Herod does not mean that his faith failed him. You know, perhaps, brethren, as we drove here, we could have gotten hurt. There was a huge possibility that we could have been in an accident, something that was outside of our control. Brother Zach was speaking about that on his way here, a big truck, an 18-wheeler, if I'm not mistaken, was driving as if the road was nice and dry and just zoomed past him, making it more complicated and difficult to be able to drive. There are certain freeways that were not put salt on them. So we have to understand, brethren, that when we talk about having faith, we are not talking about fanaticism. You see, both James and Peter had faith. Peter's life was indeed in danger. He was placed under difficult outside situations that were outside of his control. But brethren, even though James was killed, James had the confidence that the three friends of Daniel had. James had that confidence that even though he died by the sword, he died gaining his life. See, our faith, brethren, was demonstrated in the fact that we did indeed take a risk. But if you think about it, whether there is ice on the roads or not, we're always taking that risk. It's always a risk to drive on those dangerous roads. It's always a risk to profess our Christianity wherever we go. The more time goes by, the more riskier in this country it has become to voice and to say we are members of the one body of Christ. But we mustn't be afraid of being killed by the sword. We mustn't be afraid that we are going to find ourselves in these perilous situations. But rather, instead, we should find joy in that in those moments, we can show that brightness of confidence in our God. Turn with me to the first speaker, book of Peter, chapter 4. This, by the way, is the same Peter. This is the same Peter who we just read about there in Acts chapter 12, who found himself in prison. And notice, this man has a reason why he can write these things, and he can write them with such confidence. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, and we'll read there at verses 12 and verse 13. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceedingly joy. This is why, brethren, I wanted to start off by saying how encouraged I am by you who are here this morning. The joy that it gives me and the encouragement that I receive, the encouragement that I am sure our elders also and our deacons receive. But not only the leadership, but you yourself, and seeing that you were not the only one who was bold enough to make that trip over here. To know, brethren, that we were willing to take on the risk because we know in whom we trust. Brethren, to know that this is not the first time, nor will it be the last time, where our faith will find itself under a fiery trail. Sometimes, like James, we will suffer the consequence. But sometimes, brethren, like Peter, we will be delivered from the danger. The outcome doesn't determine whether we had more faith or not. The outcome does not determine whether we trusted in God or not. What determines it, brethren, is the action, the obedience that we decided to follow, that we believe in the promises of God. You know, as I drove here, I was saying to Charlie, and I was saying to her, you know, if something were to happen to us, wouldn't this be the best way to go? That as we are on the way to the house of God to worship our Almighty God, he decides instead to bring us to our eternal reward. Brethren, this is the beauty that we have. We have that confidence that even if a Herod slays us with the sword, we know that we have the joy. We have the joy to partake of Christ's sufferings. We, brethren, can truly call ourselves his body in this extent. But go back with me to Acts chapter 12. Just because it is undeniable that there will be troubles, that there will be problems, and that there will be risks, does not mean that we shouldn't prepare. It does not mean that it is wrong or that we would be wrong and to try to put ourselves in the best wise position to try to avoid or to try to prevent any type of danger. Read now with me, beginning there at verse 5 and verse 6. The Bible reads, Peter was therefore kept in prison but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Notice, brethren, point number one, dangers are going to come. Risks are a part of this calling that you and I have. But point number two, we can still prepare to the best of our ability with what is within our reach. Notice that even though Peter was kept in prison, the church was in constant prayer. Pay attention to the fact that they were not coming up with the plan to bust Peter out of jail, right? They were not plotting a revolution or how they were going to take on these soldiers and how they were going to overthrow King Herod. No, because they understood, brethren, that this was not the will of God. They were not angry because their brother James had fallen by the sword, but they also weren't intimidated. They were not scared and afraid to pray because James had died for being a Christian. Notice that Herod killed them because this pleased the Jews. Well, why did it please the Jews? Remember that the Jews were persecuting the church. Remember that during this time, Christians were hated by the Jews, and therefore Herod was trying to find a political favor among them. He was persecuting the church on behalf of the Jews. Brethren, the church could have been afraid to pray. They could have been scared to pray on behalf of Peter because one of their own had already fallen to Herod's sword. They could have been angry and gone to the other extreme. They could have reacted and played and staged a coup or began a revolt. They could have plotted a way to bring Peter out of prison. But pay attention that none of these ways, none of these plans are wise from above. No, instead, brethren, we read about the boldness, but we also read about the spiritual diligence found in the church during the first century. They weren't able to bring Peter out of prison with violence, and they were not about to stop serving God. So what was at their disposition? What was within their reach? The Bible verse 5 says, prayer. What they deemed wise to do best was not only to pray, but the Bible says that it was constant prayer. They prayed constantly for Peter. Now, pay attention to what proper preparation looks like. Let us pay attention to what wisdom from above looks like. Number one, they were bold, and therefore they did not stop consulting God, even though James fell by the sword. They did not blame God from James' death. They did not forsake God because their brother had fallen. They did not lose heart like the Israelites did with the 10 spies who went and spied out the land. No, instead, they held on firmly and even more so to the mighty hand of God, and they turned to him now on behalf of Peter. They went to God and they accepted his answer when it came to James. They did not murmur against God. They did not complain against God. They did not pray with the intent of holding it against him and asking, why, oh God, did you take James from us? No, instead, notice that they accepted the outcome because they understood who was in control and they understood that his will is always in the best interest of the saints. And therefore, now they turn their attention to Peter. You know, the Bible doesn't give us specifically how they prayed, but we can make an educated guess that perhaps the prayer was something like, "Father, we know that you have chosen to bring James home with you. But now, O Lord, if it be thy will, we ask humbly, please spare Peter. Father, we know that it is nothing impossible for you, and although you, Father, have found the love and the wisdom in allowing James to secure his crown, Lord, we are still in need of your servant Peter, and we ask on his behalf, if it be your will, please deliver him from the hand of Herod." Notice, brethren, that the prayer was constant, but it was offered to God. They didn't allow their circumstances to weaken their faith, but instead they used the negative as fuel to improve and increase the positive. They relied even more on God and not less on Him. Their prayer life became even more fervent, and pay attention to this, they did it as the church. They came together, brethren. They came together in the face of adversity, and how beautiful. Can you imagine Peter, how he felt and what sentiments came through him when he learned that the church came together for him specifically to offer prayers on his behalf so that he would be freed and delivered from the vicious hand of Herod. You know, on October 6th of 2019, brethren, those of you who were here at Southeast, you know that date. That day, I was admitted into the hospital on emergency. That day, I was 4 hours, as I was told by the surgeon, from dying. But on that day and during that time, the church came on my behalf to pray. I'll never forget that. I'll remember how my room had the blessing that it was always Christians filling it. And I remember how often when the room was now dark and everyone had left, the thought that would come through my mind was, "For me, Lord, all this for me." Brethren, the encouragement, the comfort, the strength that I got from those prayers, the knowledge of knowing that there were saints praying for me, not only here in San Antonio, but on so many other parts of the world where there were brethren who offered on my behalf so that I could be delivered, because in their mindset and in yours, I still had work to do among you. Brethren, I can tell you the feeling that you get, and even now, 6 years later, when I remember, 7 years now, really, it is encouraging, it is uplifting, and it makes me want to work even harder. And it makes me want to show my gratitude to God and His people. Because if it weren't for those prayers, who knows what would have happened if I would have still survived, knowing that no one even knew that I was sick. Notice, brethren, the church was in constant prayer. They were able to do something about it. They didn't give up. They did not become discouraged. They did not go into a pessimistic mindset. Instead, they were optimistic and they increased their faith and they united. They came together. And if you will, spiritually, they surrounded their wagons around Peter. James is now home, but Peter, we still need you. And we will pray on your behalf, but trust in whatever God's will may be. We go down further, brethren. And now we read. We read there at verses 8 and forward. "Then the angel said to him, 'Gird yourself, untie on your sandals.' And so he did, and he said to him, 'Put on your garments and follow me.' So he went out and followed him and did not know what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and the second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, 'Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people.' So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. Brethren, we've seen point number one, we're going to have risks. There's going to be threats. There's going to be dangers and perils. But number two, there is something we can do for preparation. We can prepare wisely using the wisdom from above. But number three, point number three, from verses 8 through 13, we have to put that plan into action. We can't just have the plan. We can't just have it in mind. We can't just think about it and then do nothing about it. You see, this passage reminds me of James chapter 1, if you will. Go with me there to James chapter 1. And notice how this passage is being exemplified by what we just read in Acts chapter 12. James chapter 1, beginning at verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Can you imagine, brethren, when Peter arrives to Rhoda's door, the Bible says that many had gathered together to pray. Many had gathered to pray. What were they praying about? They were praying for Peter's deliverance. What were they asking for? Please, Lord, deliver him from the hand of Herod. Can you imagine if Rhoda would have been afraid to open the door? Can you imagine if when Peter came calling, the thought that would have come through her mind instead of not knowing who he was would have been, this is a trap. This feels too suspicious. How did Peter, all of a sudden, and this late at night, how is it possible that he was allowed out? Notice that Peter himself, right, in verse 8 and 9, we see the amount of faith that Peter had. Peter didn't even know that this was real, but he was following the commandments. The argument could be made that Peter was blindly following because he thought he was looking at a vision. But brethren, even in his mind, how strong was the mind of Peter? How focused was the mind of Peter on God that even in his dreams and in his visions, he does not defy the commandments of God. He obeys. He follows. And it is not until verse 12 when he realizes, oh, I am not dreaming. This is actually happening. You see, brethren, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel. Peter wasn't sure if this was real or not, but it didn't stop him from trusting God. It didn't stop him from following the commandment. James tells us that when we ask for wisdom, we must do it in faith. Well, you see, brethren, faith doesn't just mean to believe. You see, Peter believed that it was an angel of the Lord. In fact, Peter believed that what he was seeing was from heaven and that was being sent to him divinely. But he still obeyed, whether a vision or not. His faith was an obedient faith. When the church prayed on his behalf, pay close attention to the fact that when Peter knocks at the door, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. You see, brethren, when God's response to our prayer knocks on the door, we have to be like Rhoda. And we have to be ready to answer that call. God answered their prayers, and he answered their prayers favorably. He delivered Peter from the hand of Herod. He brought Peter to their door. How wonderful, how marvelous, our God, that he didn't just deliver Peter in prison and tell him, now, go your own way. No, he was delivered straight to their door. Brethren, God will not always deliver the answer to our door. But he will deliver. And we have to be ready to answer his call when he does. We have to trust that our prayers have been answered, whether it is a no, whether it is a yes, or whether it is wait, not yet. We have to be ready to trust in whatever the answer our God gives us. And we have to have our sandals upon our feet, and we have to have our loins girded with our belts, ready to move, so that when God says go, we are not stumbling. You see, brethren, it's not just to have a plan in place. It's not just to have the wisdom in our mind. We have to have the boldness, and we have to have the obedient faith to enact and execute what we've planned for. You know, if I am asking God to give me the wisdom so that I will know what is the safest route to arrive here, then I'm not going to sit there watching TV and let just God illuminate my mind. No. After praying that, I'm going to grab maps, I'm going to look for through whatever I have to look for and assess what are the routes available to me. And once I have, I'm going to trust. And I'm going to put it in his hands and I'm going to obey whatever his will may be. Brethren, Peter was delivered from a very perilous situation. Go back to verse 4 and read it again. It says that he not only put him in prison, but he says he delivered him to 4 squads of soldiers. It wasn't just 1 squad, it was 4 squads of soldiers. I encourage you to go home and study the history of what made a squad in a Roman or a Jewish army. Count how many soldiers were placed around Peter. And this will tell you how Herod knew who God was. Herod was afraid that God was going to deliver Peter. In fact, Herod knew. He had already heard of the power that Peter had exhibited through the Holy Spirit. Herod was really aware of other miracles that had already happened by the hands of the apostles. Herod was scared. Herod did not want to be embarrassed publicly, and that's exactly what happened. Because where Herod, still knowing what God's power was capable of doing, decided to pick a fight with him. Peter, trusting in the power of God, followed the commandments given to him. So we see, brethren, that we will always have risks. And there is no lack of faith when we plan accordingly, when we are diligent and we use wisdom. But our faith is exhibited when we put our words into actions. When we follow what we've planned, when we actually use what has been given to us. And notice, brethren, final point of our lesson this morning, verse 14, when she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, "You are beside yourself." Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said it. They said, "It is his angel." Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Brethren, sometimes, even though we've been praying, and even though God delivers, sometimes it's going to be hard to believe. We're not going to be able to explain it. And even though we trust, sometimes, brethren, God is so marvelous in the way that he does things that, as Ephesians chapter 3 tells us, he is able to go above, exceedingly above our own expectations. Often God will not only meet our expectations, but he will give us more than what we asked. But Rhoda was the one who had the right reaction. Rhoda was the one who reacted accordingly. Rhoda instantly recognized our prayers have been answered. Notice her reaction, verse 14, when she recognized Peter's voice. When she knew that it was Peter, wait a minute, this is the man that we've been praying for. This is why we're all gathered here. This has been the purpose of our gathering here today. God has responded. The Bible says that Rhoda was made glad. Because of her gladness, she did not open the gate. It wasn't that she was afraid. It wasn't that she was cautious. It wasn't that she thought that it was a trap. No. Notice that her mind did not have a single shred of doubt or insecurity of what she was hearing. She didn't think that maybe Peter was accompanied by soldiers or that he was followed. She didn't think about the fact that if I open these gates alone, I may get outrun and I'm going to put everybody in danger. Notice the purity of her mind and the power of what faith can do when it is activated in us. It will bring forth in us great gladness, a joy inexplainable, a joy that many times, brethren, we will not understand. Because it is exceedingly abundant beyond our reach. They didn't believe her. They heard her, and perhaps because of the way that she was speaking, there were some among her that were saying, this girl's a fanatic. She's off her rocker. Poor Rhoda, we didn't know that she loved Peter so much that she's hearing him speak. She has such a strong passion for Peter that she's imagining things. And even though, brother, and she was dismissed, and even though those who were praying with her were not believing her, and even though they were there praying, asking for Peter, and she was telling them, I'm telling you, God has answered, she did not allow their incredulity, their uncertainty, to dissuade her from insisting that they open the gate. Her faith, brethren, notice how it impacted and affected them. It began with, you are beside yourself. Yet she kept, says verse 15, insisting that it was so they said, it is his angel. Pay attention to how the progression happened. She insisted. She did not stop. She was sure. Her faith was sure and her confidence was proof. And it became contagious. First, they dismissed her. You are beside yourself. But she kept insisting. They were unable to dissuade her. They were not able to tell her otherwise. They could not make her see that she was perhaps desperate. And they were able to see, this isn't desperation. And this isn't just her beside herself. Rhoda heard something. Rhoda isn't lying. Her certainty and her assurance cannot be easily dismissed. Perhaps it is his angel. Perhaps we should give heed to what this young girl is saying. Notice the progression, the influence, the impact of Rhoda's steadfastness in what she was proclaiming. Verse 16, now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. She convinced them to go to the gate. They now could hear Peter calling for themselves. She convinced them to open the gate, to see for themselves. And when they did, they were astonished. You see, brethren, Rhoda believed in what she prayed. She wasn't dissuaded once. She was steadfast and she insisted, she persisted. And she eventually convinced them, go and see for yourself. Today, brethren, I am honored and I am privileged to say that you did the same. You drove the icy roads. You planned. You prepared. And you found a way to manage. Some of you got up earlier than usual. Others who live closer, perhaps, found the best way to get here. Others walked. But you're here. and you're here safely. You see, brethren, this brings gladness to our hearts. This shows that for those who perhaps were too afraid, for those who perhaps have forgotten who our God is, for those who perhaps, instead of making a plan, just gave up easily, this is going to astonish them, isn't it? You mean to say that you guys were there safely? You guys still met? And nobody got hurt? Really? People will get astonished. But what astonishes them is when they see for themselves what an obedient faith can do when God's power amplifies it. Brethren, we should be like Rhoda. We should be filled with gladness that we are here this morning. We should be excited to know that our God delivered us. And we should have the confidence that He will deliver us. And again, it's not a guarantee that we're not going to have accidents. It is not a guarantee. Our prayer is that we won't, and we're going to ask God, please be with us on our way back home. But the scariest words that we're going to say are, let thy will be done. And this is where faith gets activated. Because the way I control that fear and the way that I quell that fear is trusting that whatever God's will is what's best for me in His service. Perhaps there are some among us who did allow doubt to grip their heart. Perhaps you didn't doubt this morning and that's why you're here, but you have doubted in the past. Perhaps there have been moments where you have fallen into temptation or you have given in because you've forgotten to be in constant prayer. Or perhaps you have been praying, but you haven't been acting upon your faith. You haven't been obedient to God's commandments. And you need us to pray with you. You need us to pray on your behalf. Today, we are gathered together as the house of God, and we can do so. We've seen the power of prayer. We've seen what an obedient faith with prayer can do. And perhaps there is one among us, or more than one among us, who has still to be astonished by God's power in His answering of prayers. You know, I don't want to just make the invitation for the negative. Perhaps there's someone among us who just wants to come forward to say, thank you. I want to thank God for His deliverance. I want to thank God for His providence. I want to thank God because He never ceases to amaze me and I am in awe of His power. Brethren, we have much to be grateful for. And we, brethren, must always remember that God wants us to come to the gate. He wants us to open the gate so that we can be astonished by His deliverance of the answer to our door. If there's anyone subject to this invitation, we stand and sing, and you're welcome to come forward.